We are holding on Chesamad Beis, the 9 lines from the bottom. Still talking about various dinim involving the buying and selling of real estate. Up till now, we started by talking about as it relates to Nizikin. Then we sort of digressed to talk about not only Nizikin, but also how it affects the Baal Choyv and how it and Ksuba. And now we're continuing basically on that kind of topic where you sell property and a Baal Choyv gets involved. Sigmar says, Amar Abaya, thank you. Reuven Shemacha Sada L'Shimon Ba'achrayus. If Reuven sells field to Shimon with Achrayus. So we've talked about in Ksubas, and we have this Gemara as well, that most of the time when you sell a field, it usually comes with a guarantee called Achrayus. Which is basically, if this field ends up getting taken away from you because for any reason that has to do with me, for example, I owed money to somebody, or for example, as well as a case that we'll talk about in the Gemara soon, where somebody comes with a valid claim that it never belonged to me in the first place, or whatever, you'll be compensated.
Why is Achayus a different halachah than Mashkin? Because it's the same.
It's not a Mashkin. It's not a Mashkin. If the field gets taken away from you, I am taking on myself that I will reimburse you. So you won't end up losing from having bought this field. And nothing to do with a mashkin. A mashkin is between the lender and the borrower. This is between the seller and the buyer, where the seller is saying, just in case, I know I have outstanding loans, and therefore there is a shibud on this field, but therefore I'm supplying that I will provide a chayus. If my Baal Choyv ends up exercising his shibud on this field, and therefore it gets taken away from you, I'll reimburse you. That's a chrayus. It's actually the Gemara discussed in Bava Metzia. What about if you didn't write a chrayus in the shtar? Is it implicit anyway, or is it a chrayus? So sofer or not, right? So that's a different discussion. And then you can have a case. So here we're talking about he sold it with a chrayus. So either it's written explicitly in the shtar that there's a chrayus, or according to the opinion, a chrayus to a sefer, it's not written but it's implied. The next case that we're going to have is where it was sold without a chrayus, meaning again either that you didn't, according to the opinion, a chrayus lav to a sefer means you didn't write it, or according to the other opinion that you specifically wrote, I'm not doing a chrayus. Here we're talking about the written.
What do you need to prove once it's in the shtar?
You need to show that later on we'll talk about. You'll need a tirpur. You'll need a doc. There's a whole rigmarole that gets involved if a Baal Choyv or any kind of creditor comes to take away a field from somebody. There's a whole rigmarole that I'm going to discuss at this. I think in Hilchos Malach Lova, the whole process until the field actually gets taken away. One of the later stages in the process is based in we'll write a document called a tirpur, which is Meloshim Torah. We're in Meloshim grabbing away. It's a document that entitles this person to take away this field, to seize this field from whoever has possession of it right now. So that's once you get to the tirpur point already, then the field is on its way out, basically. Yeah. Okay. So Reuven Shemacha Sodel L'Shimon Ba'achrayus. Suppose now that Reuven sells a field to Shimon with Achrayus, as is usually the case, but also Baal Choyv to Reuven Retorah for Shimon. Sure enough, Reuven's Baal Choyv comes and takes away the field from Shimon. Well, okay, so we know that Reuven has to compensate Shimon, but now we're dealing with another matter. What about now, whenever a Baal Choyv comes to see the field, again, there's all kinds of arguments that can be made. It can be, there's arguments that can be made, I paid off the debt already, the document that you have is forged, there are many, many, many different claims that you could make. So now... But I mean, the most straightforward, Rashi says, is, for example, the claim that I already paid. Yes, and Rashi points out, based on Gemara and Shavuos, even if the Malva still has the shtar in his hand, you're still able to tell him, it's fine, you have the shtar. On the face of it, that does prove I haven't paid off the debt yet. Nevertheless, you have to swear a Shavua before you're entitled to take anything, and the guy would talk after swear. So now, in this case, where Shimon is involved as well, dinahu, the din is the also Reuven mishtoi din ba'adeh, that Reuven is able to go to Beis Din and take up the court case against this Baal Choyv. And actually, the Nativ, one of them in Meroy Mesaber, wants to say not only he's allowed to, but he's obligated to, in order to try and keep Shimon in possession of the field. Most other Rishonim say it's not that he's obligated to, but he has the ability to. Shimon could if he wants to, but Reuven has the ability to also. This Baal Chayiv cannot say to Reuven, I have no dealings with you. I'm taking away the field from Shimon. It's none of your business. You're not an interested party in the case. Because Reuven can tell him, no, I am interested. I am an interested party. There's a chrayus over here. If you take this field away from Shimon, it comes right back at me. I'm the one who has to compensate him. Therefore, I do have a stake over here. And therefore, I should be the one to be able to come to basin. The Ikadamri and others say, after the Shaloi Bachrayus Nami, that this would be true even if he sold it to him without Achrayus. The Reuven can't say then in that case, Alai Hader, it's going to come back on me. But he has a different claim. To Amalei, Reuven can say to the Baal Chayiv, true, it's true I don't stand to lose anything financially if you take this away from Shimon, but I stand to lose my good credit rating. I don't want that Shimon should come back to me with complaints. It's true, I took a chance, Shimon will say. I bought it without a chrayus. It's true, that was careless of me. Nevertheless, though, the fact is that the field was taken away from me. I'm mad at you that you didn't tell me. There's a high likelihood that this is going to happen. Therefore, Reuven has a stake over here in the outcome of this case. Therefore, he can come to Beit Din.
We still don't obligate the seller to make a declaration that he does not have the chayiv.
No, because he may well have chayiv. How can he make such a declaration? But again, usually then you'd sell a field with achrayus. I do have outstanding loans. In case this field gets taken away from you, then I will compensate you. That's achrayus. Or you could sell it without achrayus. You're taking your chances. But even without a chrayus, you're saying you still don't want that the guy should have complaints. Now, Tosfos asks the question here and in two other places in Shas, where Rashi deals with it also. Over here, and Tosfos deals with it in several places. What's the difference, practically speaking, if we're saying that Reuven is allowed to go to Beis Din? Fine. If we go with what the Meruli Mitzvah is saying, that it means he has to, fine, then that's what it means. But if we go with the usual understanding that it just means Reuven has the ability to go, so what? What's practically speaking, what's the nakamina? That either way, whatever Reuven would have claimed in Beis Din, Shimon can claim. Why should it matter, really, whether it's Reuven or Shimon standing here in Beis Din and making these claims? So there's a lot of different answers. So Rashi, not over here, but Rashi in Bava Metzia talks about the idea that you may have, for example, Reuven has been merciful that shavuah. We just said over here, Rashi said that usually you have the ability to say to the Baal Chayiv, if you want to collect, you have to swear first. What if Shimon had been merciful that shavuah to him? Nevertheless, Reuven still has the ability to come to Beis Din. I wasn't merciful you the shavuah. There's that, and then there's a lot of other. Tosfos over here brings several possibilities. One is, for example, you could have a situation. Shimon has his evidence. He brings his evidence to Beit Din. It gets chopped down or whatever. It's not relevant. But after all, no evidence. For example, that the chayiv was paid off or whatever it is exactly, and it all gets chopped down. Let's say, and Shimon says, okay, I don't have any more proofs to bring. I give up. Reuven maybe still has more proofs to bring. Now, if it was only Shimon involved, if there had never been a Reuven here in the first place, then fine. Once Shimon says, that's it, I give up, I don't have any more proofs, that's it, case closed. But now that Reuven is involved, and we're saying Reuven has the ability, the seller has the ability to come to Beis Din, then we can reopen the case. Whatever proofs that Shimon didn't have. As a matter of fact, some of the portions say that's another point. Also, Tosfos themselves brings in some other places. Practically speaking, Reuven knows more what's going on over here because he's the one who originally borrowed the money. He's the one more likely to know reasons that the debt might not still be outstanding. You owe me money from some other thing, or I already paid you off, or whatever, all the different possibilities that Shimon just may not know about. That could be. I don't know if we apply that necessarily over here. I mean, usually we say, okay, it's the other way around. Lova doesn't have the ability to be made to the Baal Chayiv to say I never borrowed from you if he really did. At most, he might be a modem mixer. I don't think we find anywhere that the Baal Chayiv, the Malva in this case, is not going to have a Ha'oza to make a claim to Reuven's face. Maybe, I don't know. Anyway, fine, okay. anyway, Tosfos brings other possibilities. Let's say, for example, that the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that you have the ability to say, you know what, there are both the dinim over here, fine, but there was a base synagogue in Yerushalayim. I demand, let's go over there.
I mean,
in this case, Reuven or Shimon, as the case may be. Or let's say the Baal Chorich has the ability to say, let's go to the Beis Sinagodol here. They may or may not decide in my favor, but I'm sure the Beis Sinagodol will. So now let's say, for example, practically speaking, Shimon can't make the trip, Reuven can. That's another importance of Reuven being able to go. Tosfos in other places discusses other possibilities. One of them is a practical thing. Reuven may be a better debater than Shimon. And maybe it's just a matter of, practically speaking, Reuven is better at being cross-examined and based in, and Shimon is not. So, yeah. Okay. Well, Abaye. Then Abaye says another din. Reuven shemach hasadah l'shimon shaloi b'achrayis. Now suppose that Reuven sells the field to Shimon without achrayis. So therefore, yeah. So if the field gets taken away, Shimon's going to have no recourse. He's not going to get anything back from Reuven. And sure enough, the yotzer alar asikin. Sure enough, there came up objectors about the field. Meaning, what kind of objectors? Rashi says, meaning they're objecting, saying this field belongs to us. Not even a question of a Baal Chayv. We're talking about, there are Rishonim who say maybe talking about a Baal Chayv as well. But Rashi says not even that. They're arguing and saying, yeah, title. You, Reuven, had no right to sell it in the first place. It wasn't yours. You or your ancestors or whatever stole it from us or whatever it is. Yeah, yeah. So, Anshala Hesikva, if it's before Shimon had made a chazaka on this field, Yochalaksavo, then he's able to change his mind.
Who is able?
The buyer, Shimon, is able to say, you know what, forget about it, there's a thicken. I stand to lose everything because there's no achrayus here even. Since I haven't made a chazaka on it yet, then take it back and let me have back my money. I don't want to get involved in it. Misha Hechtikva, once he made a chazaka in it, ain't Yochalaksavo, then he's not able to take it back. Now, because he already made a chazaka. Now, what kind of chazaka are we talking about? The Tosfos explains over here that, again, this Gemara also appears in Bava Metzia. We also had it, we'll learn it in a few months' time again, Be'ez Hashem. We also learned it in Ksuvos. This particular one I don't think we learned it. So, but anyway, it's in Bava Metzia. Rashi explains over there that the chazaka we're talking about is that he hadn't yet paid money for the field, but we know, we learned in Kedushin, that character can be acquired the kesef b'shtar of a chazaka, so he did a chazaka on it, and that makes a kinyan. Once he made a kinyan, then that's it. He can't rename. Tosfos asks on that, in that case, why, among other things, why specifically are you mentioning chazaka? In that case, by the same token, if he paid kesef, the same thing should apply. Why if this is chazaka? Second of all, the Gemara is going to ask in a second what constitutes chazaka over here, and we know what chazaka constitutes in the case of the field. That's a different kind of chazaka. That's chazaka to make it that we can presume that this field actually belongs to you, even though you don't have a deed to it. Because after 3 years, we don't expect you to hold on to your deed indefinitely. The kind of chazaka we're talking about over here is the chazaka that you do when you first acquire a field. You do some act to make it to show that you're the boss of it. So in front of whoever, it doesn't have to be two. No, it could be, I don't know necessarily there have to be Adam involved, but whatever. For example, Tosfos brings from a mission in Bava Basra that says, for example, if you lock the gate, that's considered a chazaka. But only the owner of the place would have
proof it. I mean, you lock the gate.
So let's say they're worried, but it doesn't even have to be. The point is that you did an act of chazaka where now it becomes yours. Nal Godar, if you put up a field, a parat, if you put up a fence, parat, if you broke through some of the fence. Now here, our Gemara is going to say a different definition of chazaka. So if we're saying, like Rashi, that we're talking about the kind of chazaka that creates a kinyan, what's the difference? Therefore, Tosfos gives a different answer. We're talking about he did make a full-fledged kinyan. He did kesef that was shtar, or there was regular chazaka. However, the kind of chazaka that we're talking about over here in the Gemara, which is going to be that he walks around the field, up until he does that, he still doesn't have, he still doesn't fully, it's true, he made a kinyan on it. Nevertheless, until he actually walks around the field, as you usually do after you buy it, to see what it needs, to see what it's like, etc., you still have the ability to, because of the fasikin business, you'd still have the ability to change your mind. Catatosis.
Is that the full Kenyan?
So the full Kenyan was already done. The full Kenyan was already done. You already, ketosis does make a distinction. If you already paid money, then you're right. Once you paid money, that's it. It's a goner. But if it was only shtar or the other kind of chazaka, like na gadol or para, or digging in it or whatever, then before the zayish hametzri, as the Gemara is going to talk about in a couple of lines, you still have the ability, because of the sasikin, to change your mind, to say, you know what, I didn't know what I'm getting myself into, and therefore I want out. So, Misha Hasikva, so once he made a chazaka, in Yochalasiba, then he's not able to change his mind. My timer, why is that at that point? D'amalei, because Ruben, the seller, can tell him, you know what, after all, you took your chances. Chaisa de Kitri, Savras Fakabos. You thought that you're getting, Chaisa means a bag, de Kitri means a tied. So like you thought you're getting a bag that's tied up, which turns out to be empty, and sure enough, it's empty. It's full of air.
It kind of works.
Yeah, basically, yeah. Or like in English, they say, you know, you bought a pig in a poke, is the expression. Like, yeah, you knew that you're taking your chances over here. Yeah. Rabbi Hananel says it a little bit differently. Let's say, I mean, you have, for example, you bought a closed container. You don't know, is there water in it? Is there wine? Is there oil? Is there some other liquid? So whatever there is in there, that's what you bought. There are some, I think it's the Gaonim bring an interesting thing. We learned in Gittin, we learned a story over there about Rish Lakish and the cannibal, the Ludrim, how he disposed of all of them. He told each one of them that when they gave him his last wishes before they kill him, that I want to be able to hit each of you 1.5 blows with this bag. And meanwhile, he had hidden a heavy weight inside the bag, so he killed all of them that way. So from that, the Goyim say came this expression Chaisa de Kitri, like you expected that there's going to be a closed bag over here. Okay, you didn't know what's in the bag. Tough luck, but yeah, you took your chances. Yeah. So there, yeah. But me'emas havoi chazaka. At what point is it considered a chazaka for this purpose? Mikidayish ametri. Once he walks around the borders. So again, according to Rashi, the point is that that's chazaka that. So, according to both Rashi and Tosfos, we're talking about without Kesef, right? There was no Kenyan made yet, but you walked around if that already makes it yet.
If you gave a shtar,
so according to Tosfos, it's talking about you gave a shtar or you did regular chazaka, such as digging in it, and now you have this sort of super chazaka, which is walking around it. The Rambam, by the way, has a different understanding of Mikidayish HaMetzri. He says that, like this, they used to have fields in those days. You would have around the edges of the field, there would be a pile of dirt. Right, so to mark off the border between one field and next. When you're buying a field, many times it would be a field that's next to one that you already own. That way you can make it into one big field. Dayish HaMetzri then is when you go and trample down and press down that pile of dirt over there in order to take away the border and make it one big field. At that point, once you did that, it's yours and that's that.
Have you done that on a field?
Yeah, the field.
And if you have 300 acres, what are you going to do?
What about it? I mean,
you walk 300 acres around.
Yeah, you know. Listen, Abraham Avinu was told to call me Salah Baruch Lo Kol Rafa, right? I mean, yeah. Okay. The Davka Shaloi Bachrayis. Now, all this talk is talking about only if you bought the field Shaloi Bachrayis. Ava Bachrayis Loi. But if you bought it Bachrayis, then if you bought it Bachrayis, then no, you don't have the ability to give it back even afterwards and get your money. Because there's a thicket involved. The Ikad Amri, others say, no, feel about Achrayus Nami, that even if there's Achrayus, the first way of looking at it is since there's Achrayus, which means eventually Reuven is going to end up having to pay him back somehow or other. If this comes out to be true, then fine, he has the ability to do that now. The other way of looking at it is that no, even Achrayus, once he did a chazaka, he doesn't have the ability to the buyer to go back on it. D'amalei, because Reuven can tell him, it's true, it might be taken away from you, but maybe not. Achli Tufach, show me your Shtar Tufa, show me that in fact Beis Din authorized them to take it away from you, and then I'll pay you. Meaning you don't have the ability to go back on it now. It's true there are sikkim, but again, there's a whole rigmarole, there's a whole process involved. Maybe it'll come out to be true, maybe not. don't tell me that you want to give back the field and get back your money. You're not to pay me the money or whatever. Now, you, if it ever comes to that, if it ever comes to that, and a trooper is written, then I'll compensate you.
Who signed the tip?
Bateman.
I mean, our buddy.
Yeah. What?
Streamer.
Okay. So now the Gemara is going to get back. Well, according to Rashi, now the Gemara is going to be getting back to the whole question, to the whole matter of Meitav, which we digressed from two blocks ago. We started talking about what that a Mazik has to pay for Meitav. In particular, we're not getting back to that anymore. So that's the thing. Rashi says, once we started with the matter of Meitav, we brought on Bavam and Beis, we had brought Machloikus of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, what the definition of Meitav is for that purpose. That led us into the whole discussion about that, and also how what's considered Meitav, and what do we look at relative to his field, do we look relative to everybody else's field, and that led us into this whole discussion about people taking away the various kinds of fields from the original owner or from buyers. Now we're getting back to that original topic. So Rashi says what we're actually doing is that this next piece, Rav Huna, is going to go back to answering the question that we left, the question that we started discussing on Daf Zayin. We started saying that we had, on the one hand, the Pasuk says, and our Mishnah says, that you have to pay for Nezikin out of Meitav, out of Idis. On the other hand, you have another Braisa that says that you can pay Ravis Shava Kesef after the Surin, that you can pay with any metal amount of monetary value, even bran. And we went back and forth with a couple of possibilities, what the difference is. We ended up saying that Rav Papa and Rav Huna Breder of Yeshua had said that it means if you're paying with metalkalin, you can pay with any kind of metalkalin. If you're paying with land, the daf has to be metal. Now, according to Rashi, that's what they said over there, because metalkalin can always be converted to cash. Now, according to Rashi, Rav Huna is going to be getting back to answering that question.
Which question?
The question, how can it be? Is it metal or is it stubborn? The Rashi says that now Rav Huna is going to be giving another answer. Bran. Yeah, like the leftovers when you clean bran, you know, to make white flour. Yeah. Tosfos says that it's actually not going back specifically on that per se. It's not going back to that discussion. It's beginning sort of a new discussion. Our Mishnah had said you have to pay with Meitav. Rav Huna is going to come to qualify. Anyway, so Rav Huna Amar, oy kesef.